Good morning to you all. Gary Miller says hi to everyone from his study leave. Trust that you'll have a great semester. Special welcome to those who are with us for the first time, who are starting out this semester as part of the QTC community. Great to have you with us. We hope your time here is really encouraging. Particularly welcome also, there's a number of faces who are actually returning, people who've returned after a break of a semester or two or three for different reasons. And that's great to have you back with us too. So lovely that you're here. I'll pray and we'll look at God's word together. Father, we thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for sustaining us through the first half of the year, sustaining us practically in terms of the basic needs and necessities of life. But above all, we thank you for sustaining us by your word and spirit as your people, for sustaining our faith in you through your Son. Father, we pray that you would continue to be at work in all of us throughout the rest of this year and beyond, indeed, until we leave our time on this earth and go to be with you. Father, we ask that you would sustain us, and above all sustain us by prompting us to not just feed but to gorge ourselves heartily on your word. Father, we pray this morning as we approach your word to us from Titus. Father, I pray that I would speak faithfully to you and your word, and clearly also. Father, I pray that all of us here, myself, everyone else in this room, that as we reflect together on what your servant Paul said to Titus almost 2,000 years ago, that your spirit would take up that word, make it new and fresh to us today, and use it to change us from the inside out so that we might be servants and representatives of you who are indeed faithful all the days of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name so that he might be glorified in Brisbane, Queensland and the world. Amen. Leaders matter, don't they? Leaders can really matter. My first full-time job in the city, or really my first couple of years working in the city, this was a lesson I learned fairly quickly. My very first role, the people at the top were great. It was a terrific management team and senior executive team as well. Those at the top led the way in every sense. When the pressure was on, they were the first to leap into the firing line. When things were happening, when the workload was really, really hitting the maximum limit, these guys didn't just work hard. They'd take and tackle the hardest tasks themselves and show the rest of us the way. Even when the pressure was on, they were consistently open and honest with everyone inside the organisation and everyone outside it. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, they'd take and graciously respond to criticisms directed at the work group themselves. They wouldn't send someone else to take the flak. And through it all, they remained quite consistently polite and professional and always had time to mentor and teach young graduates like me, even when the heat was on. They were people, men and women, who were respected elsewhere in town, and so we were all very proud to be a part of their team. There was no embarrassment when someone asked me where I worked in that first job. I'd say it quite readily and with a smile usually. My second job, perhaps a job like you might have had as well, my second job was different. I took a position in a workplace where the top management, frankly, were dreadful. There's probably no other word for it than to say that. Don't look at my CV too closely, otherwise you'll find out, you know, where I might have worked. When the heat was on, these men and women would run and leave the people like me and others who were further down the food chain. They'd leave us behind to cop the flak when things were going badly. I remember once the managing director saying that she was going to take leave for the month of June this year because she was pretty certain that would be the busiest time of the year. I hope none of you have had managers like that. Or another time, I remember when her deputy hurriedly headed off for a long lunch without his phone. Mobile phones had just come in then, but he left his phone in the office, hurried out for a long lunch with a friend, about an hour and a half, I think, upon hearing that we're about to receive some bad press. And that within the next 30 to 60 minutes, our phones would be ringing like crazy from the media. He was out the door avoiding that situation. Probably like with you, some of those memories of the beginning of my time in the workforce, really do stick in my mind. Even though they're all from quite some time ago, in my case, all from the mid-90s. Even though none of the senior people involved were Christian, I was a Christian at that time, I still sometimes find myself in tough moments in all kinds of situations at work or elsewhere. I find myself asking, how would have Jan or Patrick, the really good managers in my first workplace, how would Jan or Patrick have handled this? Yeah, that's a thought that comes to my mind even still. As I remember the example of those top people at my first workplace. Sometimes too, unfortunately, the other group from my second job come to mind as well, as examples of what not to do, of examples of what I don't want to be. And sadly, when I'm tempted to do the wrong thing, to act inappropriately, lazy or gutlessly, or whatever it is, in a context at college or somewhere else, it's some of those faces that loom before me. And I think of how discouraged I was in that second job when those in charge acted in that way. Many of you probably do have similar stories to tell. You've probably got similar images, similar examples, good and bad, in your mind. Because we all know, don't we, that leaders do matter. They really matter heaps. And it's the same in the church. Picking the right people to be leaders, encouraging those leaders to live and act the right way, is critical to the future of your church. It's critical to the future of my church. Here in Titus, Paul writes to someone he's mentored, this chap Titus. He writes to someone he trusts. He writes to someone he calls his own true son in the faith in verse 4, someone he clearly loves. He writes to someone who has to take the churches forward on the big